Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy, Tara.
All right. A lot of people upset over the weekend about Andrew McCabe going to skate.
Yeah.
Again. But they're deep state. They're like royalty.
That's right.
You can't look at the crimes they commit. You have to look at the reason behind the crime. If they were, you know, doing the right thing, trying to stop Trump, trying to do that sort of thing, it's okay.
Yeah. They get a pass.
You know what's remarkable about this Andrew McCabe thing? Andrew McCabe, of course, the former acting director of the FBI, later fired. And this gets lost in all of this, right? People don't know this. Trump did not go after Andrew McCabe.
Nope.
Did not have a thing to do with Andrew McCabe being pursued for perjury, for lying to the FBI, for lying under oath. He was not pursued by Trump or Bill Barr, and I bet most liberals would fail a quiz on that.
Mm-hmm.
He was pursued by David Horowitz,
yep.
The Inspector General. Inspector General David Horowitz, who works for the Department of Justice, did an investigation and referred Andrew McCabe for prosecution for lying to the DOJ. Now, all right, so who is Michael Horowitz? Michael Horowitz is an Obama appointee, mm-hmm. Not a Trump appointee, although he was later reappointed by Trump. But he originally ended up, he was appointed by Obama. So when you look at this is not what people are making it out to be. I mean, Andrew McCabe's out there taking a victory lap on CNN. So, oh, Trump went after me and I've survived. No, Trump did not go after him. Trump had absolutely nothing to do with any of it. It was his big lion mouth that got him in trouble.
Yeah.
So once again, people absolutely gobsmacked by this. Andrew McCabe was the one who oversaw the framing of Michael Flynn. Andrew McCabe was the one who lied and leaked repeatedly, including classified information. That's not my opinion. That's the opinion of the inspector general who referred him for prosecution.
And I believe he has ties to the love-struck couple.
Oh, yeah, Strzok and Page.
Yes.
Yes, because remember, that was Andy's office.
Yes, where the
insurance policy was launched.
Exactly. Yeah.
According to text between Strzok and Page.
Mm-hmm.
However, Trey Gowdy has an interesting take on this, okay? Trey Gowdy is hopelessly, optimistically, almost childishly bullish on the Department of Justice, that they're always out there trying to do the right thing, right? But they just can't get there. But someday they will, okay? So I'm gonna preface this with that. But he does make some interesting points here about Andrew McCabe. His point is basically, and you can see how this would be, right? Look, the reason that Barr dropped the investigation into Andrew McCabe without any charges, ultimately it's Barr, it's his agency, it's his DOJ, is because they couldn't get an indictment. And if you can't get an indictment, they were struggling to get one anyway. And if you can't get an indictment, you're sure as heck not going to get a conviction. Well, why can you not get an indictment? Well, you're in the D.C. court system. D.C. voted 90% for Hillary Clinton. And these are highly political people. So when you are filling a jury pool for a grand jury or for whatever, these are going to be Democrat activists. It's stacked with, no matter who. I mean, you could just pick random people, 11 of them or whatever, off the street. It wouldn't matter. So here's Trey Gowdy explaining this to Maria Bartiromo.
Why do you think McCabe is getting off here from the DOJ? He's already admitted to lying, right, Trey? Is there something we don't know that the DOJ is clearing Andrew McCabe?
Well, Andy McCabe is not being indicted for a very discreet fact pattern, which is simply the leaking of information to bolster his own credibility during the Clinton investigation. That's it. And we should have known weeks ago when they were having trouble getting an indictment. If you're having trouble getting an indictment, then there's no way you're going to get a conviction. You've seen a change in the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Columbia. So he escapes indictment for that narrow fact pattern. But that has nothing to do with FISA and the initiation of Russia and any other potential misconduct that Andy McCabe may have engaged in. That's a really narrow, discrete fact pattern that he's not being indicted for.
So Trey Gowdy saying, you know, look here, there's a lot more out there they could get McCabe for. But here's my question, Lee. If you can't get a D.C. grand jury to indict somebody simply because they're viewed as a fellow Democrat, I mean, can we get any of these guys for anything ever?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question.
Right now, okay, let me flip it around. If I'm Bill Barr and I have gone after Andrew McCabe, and I know that most of the country doesn't know that I went after Andrew McCabe because he was referred to me by Obama's Inspector General for prosecution, not by Trump, then, you know, what am I going to look like when the grand jury refuses to indict or I don't get a conviction and they find him, God forbid, innocent? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that. So that's the part of the political problem then. OK, so Trey Gowdy says, listen, there are other fact patterns with McCabe. We may still get him.
So it could actually be that he's cooperating with John Durham or that he's looking or a suspect in the John Durham now criminal probe. Is that right?
Well, he's certainly somebody that John Durham would want to talk to, and it could range. It can go the whole range from he didn't do anything wrong, and he did admit to misrepresentations, but that's a little bit different than intentionally misrepresenting or an intentionally false statement. It could be that he's just simply not guilty. It could be that he's cooperating with John Durham, or it could be that he's still under investigation for other fact patterns not related to that discrete one with the leak in the Clinton investigation.
I see.
I'll tell you what it could be. It could be that Democrats, liberal progressives in this country have packed the justice system, whether it is the FBI, the Department of Justice, or the federal judge system, with such supporters that they don't have to worry about prosecution. Fast and Furious, the IRS scandal, Benghazi. We can go on and on, on and on and on. The entire made-up Russian dossier. The entire accusation that Trump was colluding with Russia, all of this, the Mueller investigation, all of this, if you're a Republican, you are at risk of being prosecuted for a process crime if they catch you doing anything the least bit wrong or untruthful. But yet you can actually testify falsely to Congress on tape and get away with it if you're a Democrat. That's where we are.
Yeah, and you can see the level to which it's packed. I mean, when you first see the headline over the weekend, 1,100 former Department of Justice officials calling for Barr to resign over
please.
I don't know.
I mean, what is
he's
that?
He's done nothing but let left-wingers off the hook.
That's nothing but a DNC donor list.
Well, it is, because you have to consider, and you're right about that, Lee. Like 1,100, that's a lot of former employees of the Department of Justice. Wow, they must really be outraged. Okay, but like how many employees does the Department of Justice have? 100,000. So that's not a lot.
And they're,
you know,
former
what I'm saying?
Employees,
they're,
apparently.
Yeah, they're former employees, apparently, according to this. So, I mean, when it sounds on its face like, wow, that's probably like half the Justice Department. No, it's not. It's not. But you're right. These departments have been so weaponized. And I'm going to play the audio coming up on the show, because remember we played that audio when Trump said that Jeff Sessions was never able to take control of the Department of Justice. He's literally a rogue agency. Yeah. Well, Tom Fitton, who sues the Department of Justice almost constantly for Judicial Watch, got to send him another check.
Yes.
I haven't sent him one in a few weeks. I get worried about him when I don't send him a check. So you've got to keep suing. It's got to be expensive. But yeah, I mean, Tom Fitton flat out suggested again over the weekend, reading my mind, you know, asked the question, has Bill Barr managed to take operational control of the Department of Justice? And I've not been convinced of that watching him operate. I think that's why he's had to segregate Durham and his investigators kind of off to the side. He can't just turn it over to an office of the Department of Justice. So I literally don't think they do it. I don't think he has control.
I think that's a good point. I do think he has control of his office, but not necessarily the organization as a whole. Right. Whereas with Sessions, I don't think he had control of it. I don't even think he had control of his day planner, for crying out loud.
I don't think Sessions had anything but take a big long nap. Yeah. I think Bill Barr is trying, but it's that weird struggle again of, you can't go in public and admit you don't have control of the Department of Justice because you'll look incompetent and crazy. You know what I mean? But these agencies may not. I mean, I honestly, God, think they're rogue. And anyway, I'll play that coming up. But interesting stuff there over the weekend, too. So this does not bode well for justice going forward at all.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, Tara, as illustrated by Gowdy's statements in D.C. courts, we have no courts that would fairly try deep state operatives like McCabe, Clinton, Obama, etc. Yeah, we don't have judges that would do that either. Not in the D.C. circuit. Texter writes, it could be that if you're a Clintonite, you're safe forever, deep state. Texter writes, another texter writes, anyone needs to go to jail just to prove to us that it can be done. I know, we don't know that it could be done. We do not know that. Another texter writes, could you wish Gordon a happy birthday? He turns 10 today and listens to your show every day on the way to school. Oh, Gordon, that's awesome. Thank you. And happy birthday to you. That's your first double digit, huh, bud? Awesome. A lot more after that. Enjoy it. It goes so fast. Have a great day at school today. Texter writes, Tara, I love, oh my God, yes, I didn't get to this. I love Obama taking credit for the economy. You never see presidents take credit when the economy is in trouble. This guy's unbelievable. No. I mean, this is what you can do if you have a liberal media that never fact checks you. Because see, I've been covering this for years. I remember this. Do you remember the first half of the Obama administration? Do you remember what Obama had to say about the economy? It was one thing. One thing only. This is George W. Bush's fault. Everything going on was George W. Bush's fault. It was George W. Bush's economy. Whole time. George W. Bush's economy. Then, inevitably, when you come out of a massive recession, you do have some recovery. His was the most tepid recovery in American history in terms of job creation and GDP growth. They forget that conveniently. Now, this is so the same guy who said, it's not my economy, this is Bush's economy. All right, it's Bush's economy. Is now saying Trump's economy is his economy. You can't make this up. But I want to pull out the clip. I'm going to pull it out again. We always do. If Obama had this great plan that, man, he had put into place. If he had this great plan he'd put into place, and, man, it was going to start creating jobs, you know, in a couple of years, probably wouldn't still be president, but it was a great plan. He'd put it in place. Do you know what he would have said when he was on the, he was still president, was his last year as president when he said this. You know what he would have said? I've got a jobs plan. If we just wait long enough, it will come into effect. You're going to see the creation of jobs, but he didn't say that. No. It was his administration that said this was the new normal. You're not going to have a job. It's going to be hard to get a job. We're not going to grow much. It'll grow about 1% a year. That was his administration. I'm going to play this clip for you. Does this sound like a guy who put a great economic plan into place and fully expected it to create jobs? What you're about to hear is Obama say the jobs of the past are not coming back. That is not a guy. Again, this is the last year of his administration. He's talking about Trump because Trump's already on the campaign trail. That is not a guy who has a plan to create jobs. This is a guy who has a plan to create excuses for not having and creating jobs. Here we go. This is Obama on his own economic plan and how it will not create jobs in the last year of his presidency. Very different thing from what he says now.
And when somebody says, like, the person you just mentioned, who I'm not going to advertise for, that he's going to bring all these jobs back. Well, how exactly are you going to do that? What are you going to do? There's no answer to it. He just says, well, I'm going to negotiate a better deal. Well, how exactly are you going to negotiate that? What magic wand do you have? And usually the answer is he doesn't have an answer. So what I've tried to do, what my administration's tried to do, is let's grow those manufacturing sectors like clean energy, some of these new technologies that are coming up. Let's focus on those.
Does that sound like a man with a plan for jobs? That sound like a man who said, well, you know, we got jobs will come. You'll see them. You'll see them. They're going to come over the next couple of years. No, he didn't have a plan. He so didn't have a clue that it was not conceivable to him that Trump could have an idea. How'd that work out, by the way? He just mentioned manufacturing jobs. His idea how to create manufacturing jobs is give a bunch of money to Democrat donors like Solyndra and then see them go belly up. How'd Obama do on that? The final 34 months of Obama's presidency, economy added 259,000 manufacturing jobs. First 3 years of the Trump presidency, the economy added 479,000 manufacturing jobs. Now, that couldn't have been Obama because he just told you he did not have any plan to bring those jobs back. He didn't know. He did no plan. I'm not bringing it back. He's not bringing it back. Nobody's bringing it back. I don't know how to do that. Guy now says he knew exactly how to do it, and they are his jobs. So if there's bad news on the economic front during Obama's term, that's Bush's fault. But if there's good jobs, good job creation, good economy under Trump's rule, Trump's leadership, then that's because of Obama, actually. God, I can't believe they get away with this stuff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, so I got my feet up, got the popcorn out. I can't wait to see if Democrat voters nominate Bloomberg. cannot. If the people who brought us 3 years of Trump's a racist, sexist, homophobe, bigot, nominate this guy. And when we, you know what, the homophobic quotes haven't even come out yet. The only reason, you know, that'll probably be over the next couple of weeks. The only reason we know about them is because Bloomberg's employees helpfully compiled a book of over 2,000 of his most offensive quotes. And we can't even read them until after 8:20 because this is the child-friendly segment of the show. I know that kids are in the car. Some of them we can't read at all because we'd lose we'd lose our FCC license. So I'm going to try to paraphrase them for you. Suffice it to say, he hates women, pregnant women especially. He believes women are only good for one thing. I'll let you figure out what that is. It's not my opinion. He's expressed this in extreme detail. He doesn't like gay people. He thinks they're funny. And black people? Well, about the only thing you can do with them, according to Bloomberg, is throw them up against a wall. You kind of want to bust them on marijuana because that way you can get their gun. See, that way you can force black gun owners to leave their guns at home because they'll just be thrown up against the wall for being black and walking through a minority community, which is, of course, where we put all the police. That is not a person who genuinely cares about people and wants to solve crime. That's a dictator. That's a dictator who hates guns, who hates anybody but him and his security team having guns, and he's going for the lowest hanging fruit. It'll be easiest to throw black people who are poor up against a wall and get their guns. Yes, black people own guns too who are poor. They have to in poor neighborhoods. They're dangerous. And that way we can get black people to leave their guns at home. He doesn't say black people who illegally are in possession of guns. That'd be bad enough. He's just black people who have guns. He's talking about black legal gun owners. And other folks, too, who shouldn't have guns. What about white people who are illegally in possession of guns? What about them? Well, that's a little harder to get their guns. We'll come for them later. This guy is a piece of work. Let's start with his opinion on blacks and Latinos in the workplace.
There's this enormous cohort of black and Latino males, age, let's say, 16 to 25, that don't have jobs, don't have any prospects, don't know how to find jobs, don't know what their skill sets are, don't know how to behave in the workplace.
Okay. So I am compiling, by the way, a list of people, and it grows by the moment, who are too stupid to function on their own and need Bloomberg's help. I've put this up on Twitter, and it continues to grow. These people who are too stupid and need Bloomberg's help. So far, the list includes, but is not limited to, factory workers and farmers, poor people who should be taxed so they don't spend their money on big gulps. Is it because poor people are too stupid to know what to spend their money on? So if you take their money, they can't spend it on stuff that's bad for them, like big gulps. Played that audio last week. People too stupid to function and they need Bloomberg's help include his pregnant employees who should have abortions, clearly. Minority gun owners who need to be heavily policed. Farmers and machinists. Here we go.
The agrarian society lasted 3,000 years, and we could teach processes. I could teach anybody, even people in this room, so no offense intended, to be a farmer. It's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn. Then we had 300, you could learn that. And the information economy is fundamentally different because it's built around replacing people with technology. You have to have a different skill set. You have to have a lot more.
Yeah, and he finishes that up and I accidentally cut at the end. You have to have a lot more gray matter. So Bloomberg's people are saying, well, that's not fair. We were talking about farming 3,000 years ago. But they don't address the you have to have a lot more gray matter part when he talks about retraining farmers. He didn't address that because he can't. He called him stupid. It's what he did there. And that doesn't even go. Do you know what this guy did? Have you heard this one? There was a Jewish family that had just lost a family member. So they're sitting Shiva, which is grieving process, right? So Bloomberg is invited to go sit with them and grieve for their family member who has just died, who's just been lost, which to Bloomberg was a great opportunity while sitting around with the family to suggest that denying care to elderly people with cancer is a good idea because it's not cost effective to keep them alive. Okay, how much do you want to bet? Bloomberg, who runs around lecturing everybody on guns, spends millions trying to save people's guns, but has his own private armed security team. How much you want to bet Bloomberg would not apply this to himself? Well, if you're 95 and you got cancer, 95 is not too far away from Bloomberg. I bet he spends his money to save himself. I bet he does. This is what he said to a grieving family while sitting there, during their formal grieving process. This is what came out of his mouth.
If you're bleeding, I'll stop the bleeding.
So he's talking about medical care. If you're bleeding, well, you know, you show up at the emergency room, we'll stop the bleeding.
If you need an X-ray, you're going to have to wait.
If you need an X-ray, you're going to have to wait.
It's just, and all of these costs keep going up. Nobody wants to pay any more money.
All these costs keep going up. Nobody wants to pay any more money.
And at the rate we're going, healthcare is going to bankrupt us. So not only do we have a problem, it's going to bankrupt us. And we've got to sit here and say which things we're going to do and which things we're not. Nobody wants to do that. You know, you show up with prostate cancer and you're 95 years old. We should say, go and enjoy. Have a nice day. Live a long life. There's no cure. And you can't do it. If you're a young person, we should do something about it. Society's not willing to do that yet. So we're going to bankrupt us. And we're not looking at...
Yeah, if you have prostate cancer, we're not going to treat that. My grandfather lived for 15 years with prostate cancer. 15. After his diagnosis, they kept him alive. And on the day he died at 89 years old, he was fully within his faculties and capabilities. The only thing wrong with him was that he had prostate cancer, still had the same great mind he'd always had. But whatever. You think Bloomberg, honestly, with his billions, if that was him, wouldn't spend the money to save himself? You think that? No, there's no way. It's because it's not for you. It's for him. Just like the guns are for his security team and not for you. That's how it works with these liberals. Texter writes, ooh. Tara Texter writes for Bloomberg, what if you are 86 and have pancreatic and lung cancer and your name is Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Texter writes, Tara, Bloomberg is a perfect example of his non-Christian ancestors and contemporaries who arrogantly consider themselves the superior ones. Another texter writes, Bloomberg's insensitivity toward farmers aside, his point that our information economy and agrarian economy are vastly different isn't wrong. Yeah, but where the part where he says he's talking about farmers and machinists don't have enough gray matter for him to retrain them, that's a problem.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You heard the slang phrase, okay, boomer? Maybe you have children who say this to you. One of my kids said this to me the other day. Okay, boomer. I'm not a boomer. We're not like a boomer to you. What the heck? Okay, what is okay, boomer? Here is the official definition from Wikipedia. Okay, boomer is a catchphrase and internet meme that gained popularity among younger cohorts from 2019, used to dismiss or mock attitudes stereotypically attributed to the baby boomer generation. Yeah, there's a think tank somewhere that comes up with this stuff right around election time. Don't just disregard what your dad is saying. He's got 50 cumulative years of life experience and knows what he's talking about, so just ignore him and vote socialist. Never mind when he rants and raves about how many people have died under socialism. Just say, okay, boomer. That's kind of how it works. You say, okay, boomer. All right, so anyway, but, you know, if you want to not sound like a boomer, you want to be cool for your kids and grandkids, we have this new feature to help you. It's called Talk Like a Gangster. Poor boomers. Here you go.
And now, here's how to talk like a gangster for boomers. Here's how to say You are beautiful, like a gangster. You be stupid fly. Let me pull up to your bumper and smack that monkey. Repeat. You be stupid fly. Let me pull up to your bumper and smack that monkey. And that's how you say, you are beautiful. Gangster style.
Make sense? Yeah. So what you might want to say, to your millennial and Gen Z, progeny. Socialism ain't fly. It does not smack that monkey. Does that make sense? Well, I know it doesn't make sense, but just say it with me. Socialism ain't fly. Just smack that monkey. Or something. Texter writes, Napoleon Bloomberg is the clinical definition of an elitist. Yeah, he is. He's just a crazy thing. Over the weekend, Chuck Todd pronounced him an elitist. And you can't get any more elitist than Bloomberg. So for the Democrats, this is really going to be a choice between the establishment and the non-establishment. We'll see how they do. It'll be interesting. Texter writes, nice to see you employing the Democrats' tactics against them. Yeah, I try. Another texter writes, former Colorado Governor Dick Lamb once made the statement, the elderly had a duty to die. Now, I'm sure that Dick was not meaning to apply that to himself. He just meant everybody else. Plus, mainly Republicans. She loves these same people who are telling you all the time that, if you have a duty to die, you're 95, you should just go die. Even if you're still a productive member of society, you should just die. These are the same people literally in the same breath telling you that the healthcare dollars are too limited, right? It's too limited. Guy, we got to stretch them, right? Isn't that what Doomberg said? Got to stretch them. It's not enough money. These same people are telling you we've got to put illegals on Medicare for all. I kid you not, they're telling the elderly to die at the same breath telling us we're going to expand it to live. By the way, Pete Buttigieg this weekend pledged that he would give free healthcare to illegals. This is why while they tell elderly Americans they have to die, they're willing to pay for people's healthcare from another country who have not paid into it for 95 years. You can't make this stuff up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.